Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Form Zen Fighting Champion John Chong, and you're listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, protecting the history, one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
Boy, John said it tonight in a nutshell, one warrior at a time. We've got a great show tonight. In fact, we've got a very, very special show. It's called the Power of Women Show. And I've got some of the most important women in America on the show tonight. But before I introduce them and my co-host, I want to bring on my producer, Amanda, who put up with me for 8 years, put me in front of over 13,000 people, helped publish my book. And he's coming to Houston this weekend at the Power of Women Symposium that we're doing. Hachi Bowen, are you there, sir?
I am, sir. How are you doing?
Wow. Crazy night tonight with all these girls on the show, isn't it?
I know. It's gonna be a good, this is going to be a good program.
It's going to be fun. But anyway, you published the History General book, the first edition. I want you to talk about it a little bit and what you're going to be doing in Houston at on Friday night at 7 o'clock. Go ahead, Hachi, just morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, sir, I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah, I am looking forward to the weekend. A lot of excitement, a lot of great things going to be going on. And, you know, the book is out. Everything has been going well. I'm just, you know, making sure, trying to make sure everything arrives by the time I arrive. So rings should be there. Books should be there. Everything is on plan, on time. So, you know, it's been good. It's been a lot of fun putting together this book. And what I realized is that not only, and we're very grateful, Professor Gary Lee, that people have entrusted us to talk about them and to share their stories, but what we've noticed is that people have so many stories that are so in-depth that, you know, these stories deserve to be told. And our goal is to be sort of like the ancestry of the martial arts and where, you know, we provide that place that people can find out information about martial artists because as martial artists, we have touched so many lives and we have really helped to make a positive difference. And this is what this is all about. All my books are about the same thing. You know, this is in the biography books, this is book number 9. And, you know, they're all about the same thing, about telling the story that other people can hear about it and that it can improve their lives. We're not writing about the ego of martial artists. What we're talking about are the good people that learned great things that we need them right this very moment to play a part in the helping to make a difference. So, now, we have that going on. The book is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. In the next month, it will be up on about 40,000 websites. People all over the world will have access to this book. So we want you to share it with your friends, your family, your students. Now, tell them about the martial arts. Tell them about these people. And guess what? They're going to want to stay in the martial arts longer because they're going to know these stories. And remember, stories are very powerful. They move, they motivate people to be able to take action. And, you know, so those are some of the things that we're looking for. But on Friday, we are planning, I think it's at 7 p.m., to officially launch the book. And we will be doing a book signing there, and the book signing entails that people are in the book coming together, signing each other's books, signing for other people, really making something exciting about it. Then after that, we're going to be having the ring presentation. This is where we have created the first sport karate museum history general ring. And this ring, you know, it's powerful because when you see someone with this ring, you know that you and that person have something special in common, that you really have a bond of being something important, being a part of something important, such as the Sport Karate Museum. So, sir, it's just going to be so many great things happening. I'm looking forward to it. I know you got a lot of seminars going on and a lot of other, competitions. So, you know, I really commend you in the way that you're being able to bring so many things together and not only just bring them together, but, you know, create success. So I truly do compliment you on that, sir.
Well, that means a lot coming from me, Jesse Bowen, and I really mean that. You've been with me for 8 years now, and we've come to a point where it's about love with the book. I mean, the book is about the stories of people that maybe some people might know about, that maybe they might know about their history, but we're introducing a lot of cool people that have supported the Sport Crowder Museum through the 30 years. And I want to thank you, sir, again. Thank you so much. And I'm looking forward to seeing you in a couple of days. It's going to be a it's going to be a blessing. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's Jesse Bowen, the publisher of the History General book, which is debuting October the 1st in Houston, Texas, at the Power of Women. Well, I'd like to introduce the two co-hosts that really help me do my show every week. And I've been trying to reach him. I hope he got on the air. Dean Piles, are you on the air yet?
Yeah, I'm here, sir.
Hey, Animal, how you doing? First of all, I want to say how sorry
could be better, but
about losing your sister. I'm so sorry about that, sir. And
yeah,
you've got our feelings and the condolences of every History General. And I'm going to miss you this year. This is the first year that you haven't got to come. And I just want you to know how much I feel for you, buddy. I really do. But
yeah,
thank
I appreciate
you for your show tonight. Thank you for, you know, expressing yourself on the 6th and the 3 minutes with the Wolverine. And I know your heart is heavy. And I just want you to know how much I love you, okay?
Thanks, sir.
You best. Now, the other co-host that's put up with me, he's a Yankee. I deal with him. He's one of my best friends, though. AJ Perry, where you at? Are you there?
How are you, Professor?
Hey, man. How you doing, AJ?
Real good.
You're my
good.
Favorite Yankee. You know that, don't you?
You know, I suggest maybe we do a minute of silence for Dean's sister and Dean's family.
Let's give 30 seconds of silence to our little brother Dean for losing his sister. 30 seconds, please. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We love you, Dean Piles. God bless you, buddy. Now, I've got a great show tonight. What I'm going to do is I'm going to introduce these ladies, each of them individually, and then we're going to have like a free-for-all while I ask them questions, and we'll answer them. So I'm going to, not any particular order, because I'm friends with all of them. I want to start with Kirsten Peaches. Are you on the air yet? Yeah, Peaches not getting on the air.
I'm here. How are you?
Peaches, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you.
Okay. You're a Waco champion, correctly? What year did you win the Waco title?
1999.
In the heyday. I love it. Now, you went to Europe, right? You went to Europe to win that, or did you win in the United States?
I won my first one in Atlantic City.
Atlantic City. Well, cool.
At the Thomas and Mack Center.
Wow.
At the Taj Mahal in Atlantic City.
And who did you train with, Preaches? Who was your instructor?
My instructor was Grandmaster Billy Blanks.
Oh, the Animal. Billy Blanks, he knocked me out in 1983, which I forgave him for that. But he's a great, great guy. So moving right along here, I got one of my favorite women who won COD Awards one year. She's a Texas champion, and she's under a man named Mike Fillmore. Cindy Key, are you on the air, Cindy?
I'm on the air, sir.
Hey, Cindy, how are you?
I'm doing great. Blessed going and coming.
There's going to be a lot of cool girls on here tonight, and you're so special to me, Cindy, because you put up with me for, golly bum, you're one of the three Texans that put up with me for 40 years. God bless you. I love it. Okay, moving right along, This is one of my favorite new people that's a part of my life. She's a lawyer, and she's also an entrepreneur, a marketing genius. I really mean that. Her name is Laurie Tobin. Laurie, are you on the air?
I am, sir. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, you're special, Laurie, and I'm going to ask you a special question tonight just for you. So stay close, okay?
Okay.
Very good. Moving right down the line of these incredible women, this is one of my favorite all-time karate women fighters. In fact, she's the only woman to ever win the Jim Harrison Memorial Fighting Award for being a lightweight fighter. She won the Battle of Atlanta. She's the protege of the great late Bill McDonald. Vicki Morrow, are you on the line?
I am on the line, Professor. Good to
How
hear from you.
How you doing, animal? So good to hear you.
Well, I am actually sharing space with my two animals right now that are snoring, so it's a good night.
The Treehouse Gang, right?
The Treehouse Gang, that's right.
Well, I can't wait to see you in a couple of days. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I really look forward to it. I've made a lot
of
arrangements.
I've got one of your best friends online, Hope. Don't go anywhere. I'm going to bring Marty on now. Marty, are you there?
I'm here, sir.
Hey, Marty McDonald, the wife of the great Bill McDonald. How you doing, honey?
I'm doing good. Doing good.
It's a bunch of women on the show, isn't it, tonight? I did a good job putting all these girls together.
I feel very honored to be among all these incredible women who have done much greater things than me.
Oh, don't say that. I got two more incredible ladies. Mary Powell,
yep.
Who was a SWAT belt under Ed Daniel. And Mary Powell was a Texas champion. And she was from the old school. I believe that you're from the 60s, I believe. Mary, are you on the air?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here. But it was from the 1975 and 77 U.S. United States
Flag Champion.
I'm so sorry.
I made you older than you are. I'm sorry.
Yep. Yep. Long time ago. Yes.
Yes, ma'am. Well, you got two brothers I want to mention. John.
Oh, yes.
Who was the other one?
David Powell. He fought with
David
Roy Kirby and all the greats. Yep. And John Powell. Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's right. We got to honor them a few years ago and got to honor you. And, you know, you're surrounded tonight by a bunch of incredible women. And I got one more lady who I'm really, really excited about introducing her to all you girls. She is a ex-Playboy bunny. Not that that's a big deal or anything, but it really is. But she's also a great martial artist. Donna, are you there? Donna Keaton?
I'm here, sir. How are you, and how's everybody doing?
I hope I didn't embarrass you by saying you're a Playboy.
Hey, buddy. Donna.
Hi. Hi.
Well, I embarrass people a lot, so get used to that.
I know. I usually don't let that story out, but that's okay.
Well, God bless you, and I appreciate you being there. I think that covers the women, except for one more, who normally she's part of my six, which she still is, but I want to add her to this group of incredible women. I'm talking about the one and only Karen Slatcher. Karen, are you there?
I sure am, Gare. So good to see
you. What do you think
everybody
about all these girls? I did good.
Fabulous. You
well,
should have them every
Karen
week.
Karen is a former PKL champion, and she trained with a lot of cool people. She's Shunru, which is karate, and she's also kung fu, which I forgive her for that, but still. But, you know, now that I've introduced all these ladies, I really want to just kind of ask a universal question that anyone can answer, and I don't really care which one answers it, and don't be shy.
Okay.
I remember when there wasn't any girls or women in karate. That's how old I am. But I remember the girls had to, well, they couldn't buy a point. Apparently, it seemed like the guys were jealous. I don't know. They didn't want women in karate. But the girls or the women, some of the women that are here right now on the show, you've changed the attitude of men. You've changed the attitude of promoters. You've changed the attitude of overall that women can be powerful.
Hey, Gary.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Gary. You know, I agree with you 100%. I remember we had a demo one time back in the 70s, and we had almost 100 students in a gymnasium doing a demo, and there was one woman. And it was amazing. And I've always said women learn martial art quicker than guys because they don't try to muscle things, and they try to use the technique.
Yeah. Well, women, I'll be honest with you, women were smarter than guys. They could take technique. It seemed like they could apply it in a better attitude. Guys were powerful and they were brutal, but women had finesse, and it was just a different time. So I'm going to put Mary back on the spot and Vicky Morrow, because you guys are some of the old pioneers. You guys started back in the day when women karate was getting strong. Now, either Mary or Vicky, I'm going to ask you bluntly, what was it like? Because I know that some of you used to fight men. Did you ever fight men in tournaments, actually?
Vicky?
Vicky or Mary?
Yes, I did. Four seasons tournament at Jerry Pittington's.
And I didn't. Gary,
fighting the man or the man intimidating fighting you?
I didn't hear what you said, Gary.
Vicky, was it intimidating for you fighting him or him fighting you?
I think it was intimidating for him. I had nothing to lose.
Yes.
I didn't win the match, but I scored. I didn't lose drastically. This was a tournament that I went to where Mike Stone was there and Priscilla Presley was in the stands. This was a Jerry Pittington Four Seasons tournament. And I entered that tournament. I did kata with the kids. I don't know. But I said, I chose to enter men's fighting. And I didn't lose bad. Like I said, I scored, but I made a point, and I moved on.
Now, you also won the Battle of Atlanta, but before we go to that aspect, Mary, did you fight men when you worked out with Ed Daniels?
Oh, yes. All we had were men. One woman sometimes would come in, but all the training, the black belt test, everything was against men. Not the tournaments. I fought, you know, women in the tournaments, but it was all one division because we didn't have enough, you know, in each belt rank to divide us. But the katas were sometimes against men. We were in kata division in tournaments, and we were all together, but not fighting. But, of course,
Ed Daniels. I'll ask you, was it intimidating for you or intimidating for the guys that fought you, think?
I think it depended, probably both. Some guys were intimidated, and then others, you know, intimidated me, obviously, when they were much bigger and heavier, stronger.
Well, I find it interesting because I remember the first time that I actually sparred a woman in the Kung Fu school in Chinatown, and she knocked me out. I woke up, and I had instant respect for girls, instant respect for Kung Fu, instant respect for the unknown. And she was my friend until she passed, but she knocked me out cold with a wheel kick. I'll never forget it. And, you know, I'm not embarrassed to say that, but it's true. AJ, don't make fun of me, okay? Well, let me move right along here because I want to ask Peaches. Peaches, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
I want to ask you, because you fought people from Europe, too. What was it like fighting people from another country or another world like that? Did they fight different, or was it intimidating for fighting Americans, or, I mean, a lot of pressure representing the United States, I know. But was it intimidating for you to fight the European people?
Oh, it was extremely intimidating. I mean, I've never crossed the waters before. I mean, the farthest I've ever went was California or maybe Hawaii later on in my life. So it was just driven. And now that I look at it, I thought I was a little crazy, but I was just so determined. But once I arrived in another country, I noticed that they study everything that we do. Even if you feel that you're not that good, they feel that you are great, and they want to learn all of your techniques and what you know. So by the time I got there, I did lose at one point. I took a silver medal, and I wanted to get my video of the fight. I thought I did pretty bad, and I just wanted to learn from my mistakes so that I can be better, and the tape was sold out. So that's when I learned that no matter how you feel that you have lost and you don't feel that you did a great job, they just take whatever you have and just perfect it. So you have to be on your best when you go there, because even if you feel that you're not good enough, they already feel that you are. So that was my journey from there. They're awesome fighters, but we're the best in the world. That's how I felt, and I still feel that way to this day.
That's
USA.
Well, I'm going to put my dear friend Cindy Key on the spot now, and it's also, I guess, apply to Mary. Being a Texas black belt is powerful. I mean, I'm not just bragging about Texas, but I'll just tell you that. When I came to Texas, I didn't care about the points or the trophies or the awards or the ratings or anything. I just realized that Texas would allow me to hit people many times without being arrested. But Cindy Key, what's it like being a Texas white belt, Cindy?
I don't know that it would be different than being a black belt anywhere else. I just think we all have the same.
That's funny.
We all have the same attitude. I mean, women in martial arts, we just do the best that we can do and give it our shot. I think there's an attitude that we have to go with what we do, whether it's in kata or in fighting. And I love to have a good fight. I love to get in there and have a good fight and be friends when we're out of there.
Yes, you do. Well, I'm just kind of, I guess, prejudiced for being a Texas Bible, because I'm not. I'm a Hawaiian, but I'm an adopted Texan, and it's because of people like you, Cindy Key. And, I appreciate Texas in general, just the attitude that we all have. Now, I want to move right along with, this is a very, 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 very favorite woman that's in my life, and she is the wife of one of the great karate pioneers of our time. He helped produce so many great champions, and she's a black belt, but she was the wife of this great man, Mr. Bill McDonald, who also helped create SECA, the Southeastern Karate Association, which was one of the first associations in America. Marty, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear, but I want to ask you a specific question. You were married to Bill for many years, but what was it like being married to such a great pioneer and champion like Bill McDonald, to be the wife of such a great man? What was it like?
Well, I guess it was like being married to anybody else, but he was incredible, and you had to realize that when you walked into a room and he owned it, that you just watched him own it, and it was pretty special, and you had to just know that he was unique and special. and that people were going to appreciate him and talk about him, and women were going to hug him, and he was still going home with you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can brag a little bit. I've got his famous sunglasses that you gave me years ago, and he was known for wearing those black sunglasses. And I got to tell you a funny story. I was training to fight Oak Tree, and I was training with Bobby Tucker and Sam Chapman, and the phone rings, and I go answer the phone, and of course it's Bill McDonald, and I say, Sam, it's Mr. McDonald. Well, Sam gets on the phone with Bill for 2 hours. Leaves Bobby Tucker just beating the crap out of me for 2 hours. I was so mad at Sam. But he stayed on the phone with your husband for 2 hours. I thought that was crazy.
Well, while you've got me here, Gary, I'd like to make a shout-out to Vicki, because being one of the premier women that Bill worked with, By the time that the rest of us got to train with Bill, and when I was working on my black belt, Vicki, I think, taught Bill as much as Bill taught Vicki, because Bill never taught any other women as women. We were all martial artists. And when you walked into his studio, there were no female martial artists. There were martial artists, and that was it.
Well, didn't Vicki have one of the first schools in Greenville, North Carolina? Is that correct?
Yes.
I did. First commercial karate school, I did.
Well,
yeah.
What's it like being a woman?
Bill backed me all the way. The school that I trained with him was through the university, and East Carolina was incredible. And Bill was incredible about supporting the martial arts school there, the club there. And they flew us to Texas. They flew us to Florida. Wherever we wanted to go, there was always the money there to send this team. We were a huge winning team, and Bill kicked my butt, and he made me the best martial arts I could ever be.
Well,
he did.
You know, that's pretty neat, man. I mean, because right there alone, just the ladies I've talked to so far, this is incredible history. But this last lady I want to bring out, she's a really strong person on the East Coast, and she's popular. She's supported by a lot of people. I'm talking about Donna Keating. Donna, are you there?
I am here, sir. How are you?
Now, Donna, we became friends because someone, and I won't mention his name, but
mm-hmm.
he is someone that went after you really hard
yes.
and tried to
yes.
embarrass you. And the community, I'm talking about the community of strong martial artists, were behind you. And it really was insulting that this person would say the things that he said. Now,
mm-hmm.
I know that you're a strong lady, but
right.
intimidation comes from different values, and this person went out of his way to try to intimidate you. How did you feel about it? How did you handle that? How do you feel about a person like that coming after you like that?
Well, I didn't like it at all. He tried to be my friend, and I thought it was nice that he was my friend, and he didn't like the idea that I was friends with, or I go to the Hall of Honors every year for the last 13 years. And he tried to get me on his side, and I said no, and he sent me this horrible letter, and I didn't know what to do. And next thing you know, somebody else jumped in that was on his side, and he went against you, and he went against me. And that's how
I'm a nobody. I'm just a lucky boy from Hawaii, and I'm just a ookie. But the point of it is that because of the internet, I believe that there's so many people out there that assume they know people, or they assume that they know more than whatever. And God bless them all. But there's certain people that really do know what they're talking about, and they express it I guess the internet allows that to happen. But I tell you what, I tell you what the problem is, Donna. A lot of these people who said what they did in the 70s or wherever, they didn't expect the internet. They didn't expect the internet to come out to really bring out the truth in some things. And
exactly.
Really kind of hit them in the face hard. Because
yes.
When you go out there, someone in the community that's strong, that's authentic, there's people that's going to support you. And I felt that's what I saw in what happened to you. You were supported by incredible people that
all over the world,
authentic, and right, that the whole world. So
mm-hmm.
God bless you, Donna. I really appreciate you being on the show tonight. So
thank you.
You know,
I'm honored to be with these wonderful women. It's fantastic.
It is, isn't it?
Gary.
Cool. Well,
Gary.
Yeah. Who's this?
This is Laurie.
Hey, Laurie. I didn't leave you out. I was saving you for last. Now, ladies,
you were saving me for last. I'm listening to you now.
She's an entrepreneur and she's a lawyer. I don't hold that against her, but she's really, really smart. I'm talking about marketing, and she's really helping me a lot these past few weeks.
Oh.
And she's going to be coming to the Power of Women, and we're going to be honoring her and her, you know, her incredible partner, Barry Byers. And but, Laurie, I want to ask you a specific question, and it deals with marketing. It deals with the fact I'm not talking about a woman per se, but anybody that wanted to make a brand for themselves and to make them known within their community, within the martial arts, what would you suggest to help them?
Well, first, I would suggest that it's very important to know who your audience is. I think you have to really target. Marketing is a generic term for getting people interested in what you have to sell or what service you provide. And so thinking out of the box and creating new, interactive, innovative ways of creating that interest is really how I see, you know, marketing. Coming up with new ideas, giving people an opportunity to have a voice, and just thinking of different ways to sell your product or service. That's how I would define marketing. And there's a lot of interest in the martial arts. I've noticed that even over the last 15 years, as I've been exposed to it, there's more and more interest. But what I wanted to add something, as I listened to the other women talk about what it was like to actually fight and fight against men, although I haven't fought in the traditional sense, in a ring, I've been fighting men my entire life. I've been in male-dominated industries, one after another, and seems like there's a specific agenda to make sure or try to keep me from succeeding. And honestly, there was nothing that could hold me back. It wasn't an option not to succeed. So I've come up against some very powerful men who wish that I was not successful, and it's been a rather arduous process to fight them off, so to speak.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I'm excited.
I would like to make a comment to what you just said. I've been in the landscape construction business for 47 years, and I get your point. I totally get it. And you have got to be bigger and better than they are. I get it.
You really do. I build very high-end custom homes in Naples, Florida, which is a very affluent market in general. But the men that have dominated this industry in this particular market were not happy to see me. We're not happy that I came on the scene. And, in fact, I beat every single one of them.
Good for you.
So, yeah.
I mean, we're in North Carolina, which is a coastal town. And I've been through the same thing, but I managed to make my niche, and but it didn't come easy, so good for you.
Vicki, thank you. Every one of you girls are full of PMA, and I say that with the much deep respect. PMA means positive mental attitude.
Yeah.
And
right.
Every one of you have that. And, you know, if people in general just take a little sip of that PMA and they develop it, they can accomplish anything. And every one of you girls have done something amazing in your life within the martial arts or
right.
successful in what you've done. And I appreciate you guys being on the show. Now, don't go anywhere because I'm going to come back in a minute, but I got to do a couple segments. It's really fun to listen to, and I think you'll enjoy it. So don't go anywhere, girls. I'll be right back, okay?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to a group of ladies that have changed America's sport karate around the country, and I'm so excited about it. But, you know, we do a couple segments on this show that's gotten really popular, and one of them is called The Six. Now, The Six is made up of six different people who have different opinions on various topics that we talk about. Now, sometimes the topics are things that people don't want to talk about or they don't know how to talk about it or whatever. But the bottom line is that The Six is made up of six incredible people that give their opinions on the topics that we discuss. Now, tonight's topic is kind of a hairy one. The past year has gone on from the George Floyd, you know, situation to whatever's going on now. America has seen violence in a different attitude. And so tonight, The Six is going to be talking about violence in America. Where are we going? Where are we at? What's going to happen? And the lady that's a part of The Six, which is one of my favorite women at all times, was a former PKL champion. And again, she was Sean Rue, but she's Kung Fu. And again, I don't hold that against her, but I like her a lot. Her name is Karen Slatcher. Are you there, Karen?
I'm here, Gary. And
I don't hold you against
her. Hi to all my lady friends out there. It's been so good hearing your stories. Yeah. I just want to say, as a mom and as a grandmom and as a sister and a wife, I just have watched this the past few years, the people get so angry so quickly, and it seems to be okay now. If you get enraged at someone and tell them off in public or you hit them, and you see how this rage that is okay turns into the other kinds of violence that we see. It doesn't seem to be any filters anymore. That's what seems to bother me. I see it starts in the home. So if this political and let's just say medical people get crazy with other people over a mask and things like that, and it seems perfectly all right now to belittle or to actually throw someone out of the place if they don't agree with you. And I don't understand. Know what the answer is.
Well, America's changed this past couple of years. I mean, I've seen it, and I've been in a hospital bed in my living room for the past 2 years. But I've seen it around me. I've seen it on the news, and it's scary, to be honest with you. But moving right along, I want to bring on, he is a professor. He's the editor of the Sport Karate Museum webpage, and he's a 10-3 black belt. He's from the old school karate. I'm talking about Professor Tom Spellman. Tom, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
How do you feel about the violence that's going on in America right now?
Well, obviously, it's in our face all the time and in our ears all the time. One of the things that I'd like to, you know, start with is that, you know, there's something that a lot of people might not be really aware of. They've been running the numbers on crime and breaking it down into various different things for decades now. And believe it or not, the crime, volume and everything else peaked back in the 90s. And at that particular point, there was 1.1 million violent crimes, there were 2 million crimes in 1992 when it peaked, which meant 750 people out of every 100,000 people were victims of violent crime.
Wow.
This last 2020, it was only 1.3 million violent crimes, which means that the actual count was 390 persons per 100,000. So we're actually, you know, at this point, we have peaked in 2020, or we've gone up in 2020, but we're still way below the highest level we've ever had since they started keeping track of these things. So I think one of the things to consider is that a lot of our angst, our pain, our fear, and all the things that we're going to be talking about is being driven higher and harder and deeper into our homes like an invasion by way of the media and the fact that it's being pushed in our face, you know, really, really hard. And everywhere we look, everywhere I looked when I was doing research, I found discrepancies in numbers and reasons that, you know, each individual took, you know, as to why he thought the numbers or she thought the numbers were the way they were and, you know, and had their own narratives. As martial artists, our situation is that we have to really, first and foremost, always take the skills we learned long ago. We have to be watchful. We have to be tuned in. We have to make sure that we are, thinking in terms of you have situational awareness wherever we are, wherever we go. Get the earbuds out of our ears when we're in public so that we can hear as well as see what's going on around us. Keep our heads on a swivel, all these different things, not out of fear, but out of the warriorhood that we are from the practice.
Just be aware of all your surroundings and be aware of what's around you at all times. And some people, you get so headstrong in what they're doing, they forget to do that. But that's a good point. It really is. Now, your instructor, I'm going to bring him on now. He is a he was a Joe Louis protege for 50 years. He also worked for Bravo Magazine. But he is also the co-founder of the Black Karate Federation. I call him Uncle Jerry Smith, but he's known as Grandmaster Jerry Smith. Jerry, are you there? Jerry, did you get on? Are you there? Jerry. Well, okay. Let's move right along. How about David Chambers? Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, David, how do you feel about violence in America, buddy?
I believe if you're speaking of violence and you spoke of the last couple of years and the changes, then you spoke of solution. One major solution is that you call things as they are. If we peel back some of the things that we choose to label it and call it what it is, we call right, right, wrong, wrong.
Right.
That'd be a good start to solution. You spoke of the different things that people are doing. They call it something else. They give it a different reason. Still right, wrong is still wrong. You spoke of the Floyd incident. You know. Did you call it right? What's right about it? Call it what's wrong about it? Call it wrong. You spoke of the different, many different crimes that's going on now, the many different major disagreements, the things that we look at again. If we just take out a moment, just take a moment out and look at what's right.
There you go.
All the things that we try to color it with, and I believe that's the best thought for solution. That is the best thought. Call it what it is. Call a spade a spade. That's the best step of solution.
Yes, sir. Good point. Now, moving right along, one of my co-hosts, he's very opinionated, and I appreciate his attitude. And we're talking about Mr. A.J. Perry. A.J., how do you feel about violence in America right now?
How are you, Jake? Well, a lot has to do with the media. The Justice Department is two-tiered right now. It's never, this is like an incredible you know, part of our American history because it's two-tiered. They aren't prosecuting crimes it should be prosecuting, and they're prosecuting crimes that, well, look at the Navy the sailor that was in the submarine. You know, he took a picture, you know, just for his own personal keeping, and they put him in jail for I don't know how many months. But yet there's been crimes, you know, in our government that have been totally ignored. So we have a total two-tier justice system now. Look at Portland, Oregon, and up in the Seattle area. The crimes, the arson that went on, and it was just, you know, ignored. You know, it's, oh, they're just protesting. And but yet in Washington on January 6th, you know, and I'm not condoning it, but there wasn't near the atrocities that happened, and they made a major spectacle out of it. And so we have a two-tier justice system now.
Hey, Jay, right quick, let me add in to what you're talking about, the Marine colonel that spoke out against the way the withdrawal from Afghanistan was. He's now in the bridge while Millie walks the street.
And he's in jail now.
Yeah.
They put him in jail.
Yeah.
So we have a terrible two-tier justice system right now.
Wow. Yeah, it's
and it's all political.
Yeah, it's political and it's strange. It goes back to, I can't believe some of the cities wanted to defund the police department. I mean, anarchy.
Who does that?
Craziness. I mean, who does that? Well, I guess, I don't know, just crazy. But anyway, let me move right along to the to my animal, Dean Piles. Dean, are you there, buddy?
Yes, sir.
How you feel about the violence in America right now?
Well, you know, the violence in America has been created by the media, and they use that to divide the people because the government knows that the strongest thing in the world against them is a united people. It doesn't matter what color you are. It only matters that you wake up every morning under that red, white, and blue flag and that you pledge of allegiance to that flag. And once people understand and realize that, you know, it's not anybody's color that gets them to where they are or holds them back, it's their character. And, you know, the media, they put such a hard spin on it to keep everyone at each other. Now, you know, it's really not, I mean, you know, that Don Lemon guy said, why would we coddle unvaccinated? Well, does he realize that most of the people that are unvaccinated are Spanish, African American, you know, or, you know, poor rural people? So what he's saying is now he's grouping those people into a group, but it's because you can't get people different colors and different races are united together and seeing what's going on. So now you got to do it with, you got to make people feel scared with a vaccine or not a vaccine. So see, it's always an angle to try to keep people at each other. And the reason they do that is so that they can continue to get their pawns in place. That's how wars are fought. That's how you do, that's called SOPs. That's how wars are fought without any bullets being fired. You keep everybody dancing and doing other stuff while you get all your pawns in place, you know, and they're fighting over the scraps. While the, you know, the wannabes are taking advantage of everything.
Well, violence comes in different forms and avenues, and you're exactly right. And I appreciate the sixth and your opinions on the violence in America. You guys are so important because this program, you know, is an execution of freedom. And to be able to talk about topics that maybe people don't like talking about or they need to talk about, we do that every week, and I appreciate all you guys so much. Now, moving right along, I have a very good friend of mine who's coming to Houston to show what the Oculus Quest can do, the new headset for virtual reality. He's invented a hologram along with the History Journal portals in my my vision of teaching people the history of karate. I'm talking about a real doctor. He works in the hospital. He's not just someone that calls himself a doctor. He's a real medical doctor. He's also a martial artist who was under the late, great Rick Wigginton. And I'd like to bring him on. Reggie, are you there, buddy?
Yes, sir. Good evening. How are you doing today?
See, I feel comfortable calling Reggie instead of Dr. Lee now. I hope you don't mind.
That's fine. A lot of people call me by my first name. That's perfectly fine.
Well, we're moving right along here. We're on the time schedule, but I want you to explain a little bit about what Step VR is. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Reggie Lee.
Yes. Well, first of all, I did something special that's going on that Professor Gary Lee, my partner, Rich Shanahan, has been talking about. We are super excited about the pending Texas conference. We are planning to have a hologram tournament challenge whereby Professor Gary Lee will be presented as the Wizard Warrior and also the judge of this tournament. The program will be broadcasted on a 65-inch TV screen, Chromecasted from the Oculus headset, so the audience can see and experience the excitement and what the controller is experiencing as he or she engages against an attack that is sudden and random when you least expect it. We continue to be super excited about this program, Set VR, Self-Defense Enhancement Training in Virtual Reality, whereby one can continue to practice their skills in self-defense against a virtual reality, a hologram, that will attack you when you least expect it with random attacks to improve your skills in evasion by moving linear, angular, or circular to practice to move, strike, and block in tandem. To develop muscle memory and to develop a reflex response to neutralize without hesitation, we've updated our program to include the History Portal demo, whereby Professor Gary Lee will be introduced as the Wisdom Warrior. We've also implemented a practice mode, a warm-up program, and also a cool-down program. We've incorporated this program of a cool-down whereby those who are involved in health and wellness and self-defense can appreciate a cool-down program, which involves yoga exercise and a meditation program. The program is set to improve endurance and stamina through this vigorous aerobic program. We continue to be proud to continue to endorse Professor Gary Lee and the Sports Karate Museum to be the future platform of Professor Gary Lee in his vision of the History Portal. With that being said, Professor Gary Lee, some few words about the History Portal.
Well, I'm excited about having a place where people can actually go in and be inside of a program and learn about the history of some of the people that we talked about tonight, and they'll be also in the History General book, and to have the Oculus Quest and Set VR behind that vision of having a History General portal, I think it's very powerful. And I thank you, Reggie, for being a part of the event this weekend and bringing that 65-inch television screen so people can see what Set VR is all about. And I want to thank you, Reggie. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Well, moving right along, and this is one of my favorite segments. And, you know, this man, he came from a man named Joe Lewis, who is gone now, but Joe let me adopt him a few years back, and his alias is called the Wolverine, and he kind of says what he means, he means what he says, and he can back it up. So every week, I allow him to come on the radio show, and I take the leash off. He's a pit bull. I say it. He's a pit bull. He's an animal. But I let him take the leash off and talk about various topics that I let him want to express about. Well, tonight's topic is the Wolverine's topic on gun control. Now, there's three states, Ohio, Arizona, now Texas, where you can actually carry a gun without having a permit. So I'm curious how the Wolverine feels about that. Wolverine?
Yes, sir.
How do you feel about the gun control in some of these states in America? What needs to be done?
I feel like that the three states that have adopted that's awesome. Because let me tell you why.
you're not going to walk into a gas station or walk into a nightclub or walk in anywhere and go to shoot it up if you know that there's people in there carrying guns and you can walk in and you see all these people wearing weapons, then that's going to deter you from drawing your weapon a little more than even it being concealed, because when it's concealed, they don't see the weapon, so they go in and they're going to open fire anyway. And, yeah, the person with the concealed weapon, they may hit somebody and take them down, you know, but the person that's coming in to be the active shooter, they're going to come in and start shooting first. So, you know, it's going to deter that in itself detours a lot of crime. You know, Cain killed Abel with a rock. So, you know, if they want to ban weapons and try to ban stuff that can kill people, they would have to ban everything on earth except for marshmallows. And if I had time to think about it, I think I could whittle a marshmallow into a weapon and use it.
I bet you
but,
could.
You know, the people, they would have to just ban everything. You know, people get killed with hammers. They get killed with knives. They get killed with rocks, shovels, sticks. I mean, a variety of things. And, you know, gun control, in my opinion, is making sure that you can aim straight, you have a steady hand, you aim with the mind, and, you know, when you do that, when you know what you're doing, then it's a good day. You know, you just there's always going to be loose cannons and people that make mistakes with weapons. There's people that make mistakes with things every day, but you can't go around banning it. You know, because somebody else decided to use it in a wrong capacity.
They did.
You know, and it happens with everything. You know, I mean, there's some people that can drink alcohol and not cause any problems when others, you know, cause all kinds of problems. You know, so, yeah.
You know, Ohio's been open carry as long as I remember. And, you know, I killed a fly one time with chopsticks.
Right. Good.
And you don't have slant eyes, and you did it. God bless you, AJ. Well, thank you, Wolverine. Appreciate your opinion, and
you're
I appreciate
welcome,
you so much being on the show tonight. And, you know, you're in our heart, buddy. I really mean that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was the Wolverine and his opinion about gun control. Now, I've only got a few minutes left, but I want to talk to all the girls. I hope that you're still on the air, and I want to tell you something. Thank you. I mean that. And this week at the Power of Women in Houston, October 1st and 2nd, we're going to have so much fun, I promise you. And we're going to say thank you to all the wives, the girlfriends, the mothers, the grandmothers, the sisters, the aunts. We're going to say thank you to you guys because you deserve it. So, any last words from any of you ladies? Want to say anything?
Thank you, Gary. We really appreciate it.
Who was
yes.
Mary?
Yes.
Thank you for having
okay.
us. On
putting
here.
It together.
Hey, Laurie. Well, thank you.
Hey, Gary.
Yeah, you're gonna be...
I look forward to seeing
thank you,
in
Gary.
Houston.
Thank you,
yeah,
Gary. Thank you, girls.
You,
like to focus
I call you girls, but you guys are late.
Thank you.
You know. When I say girls, I mean, you guys are ladies. I understand that, but I say girls because you guys are girls. So, anyway, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget this weekend in Houston, Texas, at the West Chase Marriott, and we're going to have the Power of Women honoring the women in martial arts. We're also going to have the Wall of Heroes for the teachers, the first responders and, you know, firefighters and policemen. We'll have a wall for them. We'll also have the memorial wall. We have a vendor show that's going to be incredible. We got Hollywood coming in. We've got the United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame coming. We got Auntie Jess Bowen and AMA Radio. We've got Steve Lampard, who's done over 1,000 movies. He's going to be there signing autographs. Also, Mark Del Sandro. He was the stunt double for all the Rocky movies. Rocky One, Rocky Two, Rocky whatever. And also, you know, I've got a very special lady, Ehan Olsen Marietta, who's been in over 100 movies herself. And so we got the power of women, October 1st and 2nd. So all the ladies, Cindy, Vicky, Mary, Marty, Golly Mom, Kirsten, and Laurie, and Donna, thank you so much for being on the show tonight. I really appreciate it. And as we always say every week, and I mean it from the heart, mahalo and aloha. Good night, everybody.
Aloha.
Good night.
Aloha.
Good night.